Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Everybody, happy Friday. Big Friday because we've got to make football picks today. Big Friday because, well, we had big college basketball last night that we need to get to. Some Thursday night football last night that we need to get to. Fridays are always fun. Later in the show, we'll be joined by TJ Cleland. We'll be joined by Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage to help us make some of those picks. So we are really looking forward to this day. And we're to that point of the season where, you know what, it also comes off those college basketball games last night. So looking forward to it. The IHOP hotline will be open for you all the way through the first hour, 869-1240. It's, of course, brought to you by IHOP, where you can celebrate the weekdays, the new IHOP house faves, all your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. We will give away some Cody Jinks tickets for next weekend. We will give away some HTO iced tea and coffee. For whenever you'd like. That's all coming up on the show today, so stay tuned for your opportunity to win those prizes. Jad Chambers producing. I'm Jacob Albrecht. Tommy Kester right here with us. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Happy Friday. Good to see you. It was a busy evening last night. I know that you were at the Shockers game last night. I took my kids to the zoo to see Wild Lights. We went to that yesterday evening, so it was a busy night all the way around, I think, for both of us.
It was, and we'll get into the Shockers, which is a fun thing to talk about right now. We'll get into K-State, maybe not quite as fun, as they really disappointed last night against LSU. I don't think anything to panic about, but certainly something that we can pay attention to. And, of course, we'll get you ready for games for the weekend. We'll get you ready for football for the weekend. It's going to be fun. Yeah, went to the game last night. It was a good time, pretty good crowd, I think, for a early-ish, you know, early season Thursday night game. You and I and all the history there. Wichita State now moves to one game over 500 historically for these two generally great basketball programs. But it was good. It was good. The energy was good. A good vibe, I think, from this team continues, Tommy. I think in other circumstances, they probably could have won by an even larger margin. We were talking after the game, and we'll dig into it. But yeah, we love going to Shocker games, and we love when the Shockers are good. It's just it's a fun environment to be in, and I'm glad that it's trending back in that direction for the season, because it's just it's a fun thing for the community. But Tommy, I got some beef here.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, a lot of people like me took the cover last night. Some people like me took the over last night, and we were all victim to the double bad beat. Double bad beat. Now, this is rare in the betting world. The double bad beat. Look, we're happy the Shockers won, and we'll get into all of that, and that's far more serious and important. But I got to take this aside. So our pal TJ was there shooting the game, and he put this video out there. I reposted it. So if you didn't see this, so here's the situation. And we're not the only ones. And shout out to the great listener who stopped me on my way out of the arena laughing his tail off, because he was also on the Shockers cover. He listens to the show, and we were just like shaking our heads at it. So, A, there were a lot of questionable calls down the stretch. Some missed free throws, things. But we come down to the final possession. So the over-under, Tommy, is 152.5, and the Shockers were favored by 7.5 points. Okay, so I'm with one of our good friends, my wife. And my wife, by the way, is just so confused by all of this down the stretch. Is, you know, we're kind of, we had early in the game, it started very slow. And I looked over at our buddy and I was like, yeah, my over's in trouble, but it's not out of the woods. And so we're kind of throughout the game, just during timeouts and stuff, trying to do that math. And then, you know, they hit a bunch of threes to start the second half. And I'm like, okay, we're back in play here. My wife just like, it's like we're speaking a foreign language. She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, don't worry about it. So we get down to this final stretch, and the Shockers, I can't recall what happened. I said, here's what we have to have. We got to have the Shockers. I think they were shooting free throws. Like, they have to make these two free throws in order to hit both of these. They got to make these two free throws, and then we got to have you and I come back down the other way and get a quick miss. And so sure enough, hit the free throws, come back the other way. You and I gets the quick miss. Harlan Beverly gets the rebound. You and I is doing everything they can to foul him to extend the game. And the refs just decide they're not going to call it, and they're going to let the time expire. And go watch the video that's out there, because it was egregious. And I'm screaming, like, call the foul. He's trying to foul him. Call the foul. Of course, if it's 152.5, the game ends at 152. And it ended at 6 points. The cover was 7.5. They call that foul. Harlan Beverly goes down and hits both free throws. We get both legs. It was an epically bad double bad beat, which just was, which was honestly a lot of fun and funny. But yeah, that there were certain members of the crowd who were noticing the same thing I was, and everybody's just screaming like, call that foul.
I mean, can you blame the referees though? I mean, they wanted to get out to watch the end of Thursday Night Football. Like, needed to get out early.
They were having a bad night, too. So they probably were like, you know what? We better get out of here. Shocker fans are always hard on the refs, and I'm not usually hard on the refs. I don't buy into that. I think over the course of a game, most of the time, there are calls both ways. You obviously don't like the big ones under the spotlight at the end of games. They were having a hard time in the second half. I'll just say that. Like, there were some pretty bad calls going against the Shockers. So they probably we're just like, you know what? Let's get the hell out of here. Like, we don't need to call that foul. They're up six. There's no way you and I is coming back. There's 3 seconds left. Let's just let the time run out. But my goodness, fellas, there are people with other things on the line here in these games. Let them go shoot those free throws now. But in all seriousness,
they should know that people have money on this.
Well, they probably should, because it's becoming a big part of sports. Not so much in college, but in the pros. Like, you got to call the calls all the way out. Yes, that's. That should be happening, even if there wasn't anything on the line. A foul is a foul is a foul is a foul is a foul. It's just like at the end of a game, I'm like, oh, you got to swallow your whistle. No, you don't. If it's a foul in the first 2 minutes, it's a foul in the last 2 minutes. There's nothing in the rule book that says, here's the definition of a foul if the game's tight late. No, BS. If it's a foul, call the foul. Anyway, but that quick aside, because it was funny. Honestly, it was very funny. And I wasn't the only one laughing about it, even though it cost me whatever, $10 or whatever I put on it. The game itself, though, Tommy, I thought was very good. And I think in a different circumstance, Wichita State probably could win that game by 12, 15 points. A couple of interesting things I thought. So, A, winning that game is a big win, right? I think... arrow continues to be pointed upward. If there are takeaways for me, the top takeaway is Corey Washington leading the team in shots, leading the team in scoring, but leading the team in shots and providing what we thought, we all thought he was going to provide this team all along. I think seeing that last night was a very good sign for Wichita State. I will tell you this, on the other side of that, I think right now when Quincy Ballard is on the floor, this team is like really good. And when he's off, they still have some work to do. Mate had a nice night offensively. He's a great passer. He continues to be a great passer. I think there's a physical component defensively for him that he's still going to have to acclimate to because the big, you know, country strong looking dude for Northern Iowa, Hudson, was kind of having his way when Ballard wasn't on the floor. He had 22 points and was kind of just pushing his way down low, you know, bully balling it a little bit. So I think, you know, as we see Mate get acclimated, it's that defense for him that will be really important for the Shockers, because there are going to be a lot of games where Quincy Ballard gets in foul trouble. There just are. And he did last night. But man, is he a weapon for them defensively when he's out on the floor, and offensively to some degree. But I think it totally changes the dynamic of the team with him out there. But he could only play, you know, Tommy, he could only play 17 minutes last night. And with him only playing 17 minutes and knowing what I just said, they still won that game by 6 points. And they also let their foot off the gas late and tried to run the clock out a little bit. Right. So in other circumstances, I think they could win that game bigger. I have almost nothing but good takeaways from the game last night. They're athletic. They're fast. Their energy is high. Their vibes are good on the sideline. Like it's all pointing upward right now for the Shockers.
I think that's really important. And just knowing that, you know, the environment or the vibe, if you want to call it,
it is
up, you know, and it continues to be up through the first three games of the season, I think is incredibly important. You know, I go back all the way to the very beginning of last season, and for the life of me, I can't remember the team that they played the very first game of the season, but it was a no-name team, and I remember the Shockers struggled against that team. You know, they won the game. I'm going to go back and look and see exactly who that was. It was all the way back at the beginning of the season. Was it Lipscomb maybe that they played to start off the season? And it was, you know, not a great win for them. And I just remember the vibes not
they
being,
won that one by 17.
Okay. I remember there being a game where it wasn't like overall positive very early in the season. And that sort of set the tone, I think, a little bit for the way things were going to go moving forward last season. So knowing that they got off to a great start, they're out of the gates in a good way. They, you know, go on the road in a fairly tough environment in Western Kentucky to start the season. They beat Montana State by 20. They hold off Northern Iowa last night in the Roundhouse. Like all of those things continue to, you know, I think build my optimism that as we work through non-conference play, as they go and play in the holiday tournament that they're playing in and then get into American conference play, you know, that things are, again, continuing to look positive and solid for the Shockers. And, you know, I was looking at KenPom yesterday. I know you look at KenPom quite a bit. The Shockers, at least before the games last night, the Shockers were third in the American in KenPom. You know, and so that's about where I think that they should be. They should be in the top three consistently in KenPom. You know, and I think that if they can maintain that and continue that, that's going to continue to bode well for Wichita State.
They made a pretty significant jump in the KenPom. They went up to 83 after last night's game. That would leave North Texas ahead of them and I believe Memphis. So they stay three. But honestly, those three teams are looking pretty good in the KenPom right now. And Florida Atlantic's right under them. I would say this, not to rain on the parade, but just to say, let's proceed with some caution. Remember, they started last year 7-1 and finished 8-18. Okay, so I if you look back last year, you know, I don't remember what Lipscomb ended up being. Remember, they had the win against Western Kentucky. It was going really, really well until they hit that really difficult portion of that non-con, which included Missouri, Kansas State, Kansas, and then they went right into AAC play. I would say, though, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't agree, we're only through three games. I think this team even through the first three games and what we saw, like it looks better than last year's team did.
It certainly it looks better offensively. There's a night and day difference from the way that, you know, they've been able to shoot the ball so far through three games compared to what they did for the entirety of this season last year. And that's important. I mean, you know, they went through the game last night shooting 43% from the field. That's pretty good. I mean, that's not bad. 40% from three, you know, so those are percentages that I think everybody would have killed for last season from this Shockers team. So that was clearly a priority in the offseason. That's clearly delivered through three games. Of course, the test is going to be how long can that hold up? How long can that persistent continue?
I think it can for a while, because I think, again, back to my point of like the most important takeaway for me, Justin Hill is his motor is strong. Like he is, and we talked to him this week, and you go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app. First time we've had a chance to talk to him. He's going to be, I think, their most consistent offensive weapon because of the energy and the speed at which he plays, especially on offense. I think his is always going to be there. We hadn't seen it yet from Corey Washington. We saw it last night. You know, we saw what he's capable of as a shooter. It was a complete game for him. The Shockers still kept it under 10 turnovers for the game, by the way, which is always a good sign and what we want to see. They didn't have a ton of assist on shots. The game really slowed down. Like, the over was absolutely the play last night. And you know, there were, you know, it got off to a slow offensive start. And then for the last 5 or 6 minutes, when the Shockers had built up a big lead, they ran the clock down on every possession, which is the right thing to do. And so it did slow down a little bit, but they hit a ton of free throws. They missed a couple of late that you wouldn't like to see, but they were around 80%, I think, which is where they need to be. Tommy, they shot 40% from three again.
I know. Yeah.
Like that's, and they didn't take a ton of them, and they don't need to take a ton of them, but if they shoot that kind of percentage, it's just another element to the offense. That's where, like, for me, that's where all the, because we know that DeGray and Beverly and now Hill, those are all like high energy, high athleticism type players. But now you're seeing Xavier Bell shoot the ball really well. You're seeing, we thought and we hoped Corey Washington would be able to do that. Like, so we're seeing all of it come together. And offensively, I agree. I think that it's going to be consistent. I don't think there are going to be a lot of nights where this team doesn't score 75 points or more. What are they defensively? I'm not sure yet. To my eye last night, they're a significantly better defensive team, though, when they can have Quincy Ballard on the floor. And I think the acclimation defensively of Mate Bozniak is going to be one of the keys for this team, because Ballard is going to get in foul trouble, right? Like that's just, it's going to happen.
And I know his injury history.
There's a lot on Mate's shoulders in that regard to be able to step in and not lose something.
There is. And he had a really good first half offensively. He led all scorers with 9 points.
He looks fine.
He finished with 9 points. So it wasn't like he did much in the second half. But, you know, I think that one thing that is important to keep in mind that I really noticed, I think, for the first time last night, and probably will continue in some capacity in some regard, is just the overall trust in a number of players that Paul Mills has. It's not like we saw really like huge minutes from anybody but Justin Hill. He played 33 minutes of the game. He was the only one that played more than 30 minutes for the Shockers. You know, Paul Mills at this point in the season, I don't know. I think it's a combination of him having a level of trust in a number of players, but then it's also just getting people acclimated and figuring out what the main rotations are going to look like. But Corey Washington only played 24. Quincy Ballard played 17. You know, Ronnie DeGray played 25. Xavier Bell, 24. So, you know, you've got a lot of players that are playing between that 20 to 25 minute span, and then a couple that are, you know, between 15 and 20 from there. So there's a large number of players that are hitting the floor. Will that continue as we get later into the season? I would say it's doubtful, because I think that will.
I think it is. I think these nine guys, injuries aside, yes, I do. So AJ McGinnis has been another guy, kind of like Corey Washington, where it's like, what is it? But he's a big time shooter. He scored 8 points in 16 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, of all of those nine players, which I do think will all see significant minutes And I like it, by the way. I love that he can, because it keeps their energy sky high, right? All of these guys can play with great speed, great energy. You know, and of those nine, I don't know how to even ask this or know this. Like, Bijan Cortez is probably the only one of the nine that doesn't strike you as somebody who can go get like double digits or be the offensive leader in any particular game. I don't think Quincy Ballard's ever going to do that. And so I'm going to take the, you know, the bigs out and Bozniak. Maybe they can if they get the right matchup. But of, you know, of all the guards and forwards, to me, it's really only Bijan who doesn't have that ability offensively or the likelihood to do it. And that leaves Paul Mills a lot of options. And, you know, it's matchup based, it's hot hand based, it's shooting based. Corey Washington got all his in the second half. They clearly just sort of rode him, and that's fine. That's great. But I don't know, like, if, you know, to me, like, I don't know which of the nine would be held out. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think it's this nine-man rotation as long as they're healthy. By the way, they're the only nine that saw the floor last night. Like, it wasn't
right.
More than that.
And to my point, the reason why I think that it may not be entirely this fairly equitable distribution of minutes is because what I would love to see happen is maybe one or two other players outside of Justin Hill assert themselves as players that Paul Mills cannot take off the floor. You know, that like you need to have them out there because they're going to be most effective. And is that Corey Washington? I would imagine that's probably,
I think so.
The next best player outside of Justin Hill to maybe assert themselves. It'd be great to see Xavier Bell, you know, potentially be one of those guys too. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I think that's a good thing if that does happen, where you see Corey Washington, maybe Xavier Bell, creep up in minutes approaching 30 or maybe even slightly over 30. And then you've got one or two or maybe even three guys that are playing a little bit more minutes at the expense of somebody else. That would be, I think, the positive way for that to, you know, sort of morph itself into having a more equitable distribution of minutes for nine guys.
Harlan Beverly and Ronnie DeGray just scream like the classic Shocker seniors to me, the stat filling, stat stuffing all across the board. So I'm really glad to see that out of those two guys in their second years. Xavier Bell's ability to get to the free throw line is becoming a major weapon. Now, look, we're all roses today. They won the game. I feel like they could have won it by more. It was fun, but it just feels like this is a team that compete in the America. Is the big point for me. Like, they're big, they have a lot of length, they're athletic, and they can come at you. And if they can come at you with nine guys, it's going to be high energy, you know, start to finish. Last night they pulled back because, you know, the game script dictated that they do that. But it's a lot of fun. It's not a lot of fun for K-State basketball last night against LSU. We'll talk about that, and we'll look ahead to the college basketball weekend as we roll forward here on Sports Daily. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH. Don't go away. Jacob Albrock, Tom McCaster, we're coming back on the other side. All right, welcome back, everybody. Fall Country Club is always fun. You can still play golf. I'm going to try. I think we're both trying to play at least a little bit of golf. I'll play as many holes as I can today.
We can talk about golf. I'm just, you know, working is important, right? So let's be on the down low a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not playing golf.
Okay. Well, I am.
If my boss is listening, I'm not playing golf.
I am, boss. Tony, I'm playing some golf today. I'm off TV on Friday, so I always try and go out and play. But anyway, there's still tennis. But the reason I bring any of that up is it's not just that. So there's a mixer this evening out there that we're going to go to, free food, free drinks. There's all kinds of that stuff. And there is a social only component of membership. So if that's something that interests you, you can go out to Crestview and you can check out that kind of membership. Tell them we sent you at Sports Daily. We appreciate them. Tommy, K-State last night. I didn't catch the first half because I was at the Shocker game and making my way home. And it appears that there was a bad run in this game for the Wildcats, and then the margin just stayed that way the rest of the game. So, you know, like, I'm not that concerned, I guess, is my point on this. They had a 16-2 run in the first half, LSU did, and that basically kind of stayed the margin. So I think when you play this kind of game, and by the way, it looks like LSU is going to be pretty good, right? It looks like they're a legitimate team this year. They'll be a good SEC team. Ken Pom has them at 37, which is very respectable. So you take that. You don't like that this happened at home. That part is the maybe the most concerning, but it's the what is their officially third game? And there was one bad run and everything else. It pretty much it was neck and neck with LSU, which we thought it would be. So I don't take too much negativity away from the things that we've liked about this team. I mean, it was a Doug McDaniel game. First time we've seen that. Took 15 shots in the game. And David Gasson, again, Tommy, you know, is going to be one of the guys, I guess, for this team. The one thing I would ask you about everything is Coleman Hawkins. 8 points only. And he has not been probably the player most thought he would step right in and be. Any concern with Coleman Hawkins at this point?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a little bit of an adjustment period. And we see this all the time with players that are moving teams in the transfer portal, that it's a different coach, a different system, a different environment, all of that. There are expectations with Coleman Hawkins, though. I mean, he was one of the most prized players out of the transfer portal when he ultimately committed to Kansas State. So, sure, I mean, I think that three games in, you would like to see more, at least offensive production from Coleman Hawkins. Was that the reason why Kansas State lost the game? No. I think there were two main reasons that the Wildcats lost. They were absolutely crushed on the boards, and LSU's bench outplayed Kansas State's bench. Those were the two major takeaways for last night. And those are the things that Jerome Tang talked about in his post game. He talked about how his team was not effective on the glass, and LSU was able to get in there and grab the rebounds. And that was what the deciding factor was. Cam Carter looked more comfortable playing inside Bramlage than the guys that he had played with a year ago at Kansas State. He scored 20, which is right at his average so far through three games. And so I think that was another component as well. But overall, you know, Jerome Tang lamented the fact that he felt like his team wasn't ready and that, they dug themselves a pretty deep hole in the first half and they could never get out of that.
Well, that rebounding is, it almost got doubled up. Yeah. And I would tell you this too, this jumped out as I was trying to go back through last night. LSU turned the ball over more than two times what Kansas State did. They turned it over 16 times in the game to Kansas State 7. And K-State loses that game by double digits. That's pretty shocking to me. But yeah, when you get doubled up in rebounds, that's going to happen, right? You can play sloppy if you get every rebound. So is that a long-term concern? I wouldn't think so. Not with the size that Kansas State can bring. So again, I would toss it to the side a little bit, and we'll see what happens moving forward. They do not play, nor does Wichita State. So they both played that Thursday. They're not playing this weekend. So K-State, we see them again at Bramlage against Mississippi Valley State on Tuesday. The Shockers will not play until Monday. So they'll kind of skip the weekend game as well against Monmouth. KU is the only team, Tommy, that we do see this weekend, and they'll play Oakland. And this, bye game, they should win by a billion. Oakland's a team that's been in the NCAA tournament sometimes. Not anybody. They're inside the top 200 of Ken Pom, so we could see that as an NCAA tournament team down the road as well. But as far as your weekend college basketball goes, It's Oakland this weekend against KU. It's not the most thrilling college basketball weekend.
Yeah, I think going back real quick, my final point on Kansas State is that really what the Wildcats need to do for the rest of the season is cheer on LSU. You want them to be as good as possible. You want them to be a contender in the SEC because that needs to be, I guess, as good of a loss as it possibly can be come tournament time. That was a game that I know a lot of folks had circled on the calendar as potentially at least a decent quality non-conference win potentially for Kansas State. Well, now that the Wildcats didn't win the game, you need LSU to be really, really good. And then that way that, it can't help your resume, but it certainly will hurt at the least if LSU is really good.
Yeah. And the good thing is I don't think that it matters for K-State because of what they'll see in the Big 12. I think every game that they play in the Big 12 I say every, almost every, will end up being like a quad one, quad two game. It's going to be, I mean, it's going to be nuts. But yeah, you'd like to see LSU be good. When we get to, you know, bubble talk potentially, yes, you would like to see LSU be good.
Remember a couple of the teams last season that in the non-conference that K-State struggled with that they lost to, you know, USC and Miami. Those were a couple of teams that they lost in the non-conference. I think the biggest one, though, and probably the one that is most related to what we saw last night, remember when Nebraska beat Kansas State in Bramlage last season. Now, Nebraska made the tournament, so it ultimately didn't hurt the Wildcats as much as it probably could have. But yeah, I mean, depending on where this team finds themselves in March and approaching Selection Sunday, you'd like to see a team like LSU be really, really good. That way it helps negate that loss.
I think you definitely don't want to see them be bad.
Exactly.
As much as anything else, because it's going to be a home loss.
And that's
loss,
why right? with Nebraska last year, at the time, yeah. I remember everybody being like, oh my God, that's a terrible loss. Then Nebraska made the tournament, and it made it a little bit better.
Yeah. It's a good point. I'm not overreacting to it, and I'm not overreacting to the Shockers beating Northern Iowa either, who lost by 20 points at home the game before to UC Irvine, who's probably pretty good. UC Irvine, the Anteaters have been a good program, but it's an early season game. We had two of them. We don't get one this weekend. We get KU in Oakland. I don't think there's a ton that we'll take away from KU in Oakland. But that's your college basketball, and that's okay because we get a massive football weekend, and we don't have that confliction in our lives like we did last weekend, quite frankly, this time around for the weekend. So that's your weekend of football. Of basketball. That covers it. We'll leave the IHOP hotline open for you the rest of the hour if you want to chime in on the Shockers. If you want to chime in on K-State, you can do that. The old-fashioned way, and give us a call, 869-1240. You can do it the new fashion way and leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app, which is really cool. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, just push that microphone button. It sends us the voice message. Or you can leave us your video comments on Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. It's all there. Let's start our first giveaway, then we'll take a quick break. Can't remember which order we did this in yesterday. I think we did Cody Jinks first hour, so we're going to switch that up. We'll do Cody Jinks next hour, so stay with us for that. This hour, we'll do our HTO giveaway. You can win a free iced tea, a free iced or hot coffee drink. You'll get a chance to win one of those. A quick reminder, order your Thanksgiving gallons right now. If you do a pre-order for Thanksgiving at HTO, you can get buy three, get one free. And all you do is you come in, you decide whether you want to pick those up on Tuesday or Wednesday, the week of Thanksgiving. You put that pre-order in, it'll be ready to go for you. And you can get a little discount on it as well. So do that. But here's your chance to win the free drinks. All you got to do is text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day, message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We'll be back. More Sports Daily right after this. On your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download the Odyssey app today to get started. Welcome back in, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Thursday Night Football, interesting. I was waiting. One of Tommy's favorite things to do is rub in when I'm maybe incorrect on a take, and I've gotten a lot of Bengals texts over the weeks here of the NFL season. I stopped getting Philadelphia Eagle texts from you, though, Tommy. I was wondering about that last night as they were. I mean, they missed a bunch of field goals, but they were pretty dominant in that game against the Commanders. Now 8-2, two games of separation for them. Boy, all of a sudden they have a respectable, if not good, defense, and they're getting healthy. Still think I'm crazy for saying the Eagles are good?
No. Look, and I don't argue the fact that they're not talented. I mean, they are talented. They're good.
They're a good team.
I don't trust them, but they're a good team. I don't think they fully all the time play to the potential. I think they might be,
I think they're
overall,
starting to.
They are. But I think that they have a collection of talent that is probably unrivaled in the league. I would even say that, like they're up there probably with the Chiefs. I think they're a more talented team than the Lions are. But I think the Lions play to their potential more often than the Eagles do. I just don't overall trust the Eagles week to week. That's just. I think they've got a ton of talent.
I think they're as talented as the healthy 49ers, and I think they're as talented as the Lions. I think they're different than the Lions, but I mean, here's what it is for me. And I don't. Did I pick them to play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl? I think
you did. Yeah.
It's the Saquon Barkley piece of it.
He's a damn cheat code. I mean, he was absolutely incredible in the second half.
But it does take the pressure off. And that's part of it for me, is because I'm not a huge Jalen Hurts guy. Like, I like Jalen Hurts to play. I like his attitude. I like all those things. I think he is not the most gifted thrower in the league, right? And so, but for me, when they brought in Saquon, it was like, boy, that's going to take a lot of pressure off of Jalen Hurts. Because now they can, now he can pick his spots with those talented wide receivers that we know they have. And the other big difference is, you know, I guess, to Vic Fangio. Like, all of a sudden, remember last year before last year's draft, they went and they got all those high end defensive players coming off of the Super Bowl. And we're like, why is the league letting Philadelphia do this? Like, how are they getting all these? Well, they didn't really pan out last year, and they had that bad stretch. Well, now all of a sudden, some of those defenders are looking real good. And so we've got this team here that I do, and they will now after last night. But as people talked about the NFC, I think the Eagles were going under the radar. It's all been Lions, 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 and wait till the 49ers get healthy, and maybe Packers, and look at how amazing this turnaround is for the Commanders. And the Eagles have just quietly sort of put this good defense on the field all of a sudden. And this stretch of games that they're playing, they've given up 12. We'll go back here to week three, Tommy. 12. Then they got smoked by Tampa, right? And that's kind of when, that's probably when you were rubbing it in on me. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But then they came back and they've given up 16, 3, 17. The Jags game was weird. 6-18. I think their defense is kind of hitting its stride, and I do think this is becoming a very dangerous team as it pertains to the Chiefs that we need to be paying attention to.
I think one thing to keep in mind about the Eagles, and I know you tuned in after you got back from the Shockers game, so it was the second half. The Eagles looked really poor offensively in the first half. They looked really poor. And some of that is Washington's defense. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And Dan Quinn has done a great job in building up what he wants his defense to look like. That's what he does. But the Commanders held the Eagles to 3 points in the first half, and they looked pretty pedestrian early on in that game. It wasn't until not only the second half but the fourth quarter that the Eagles exploded. And then that was, you know, it was obviously Saquon being able to find seams and then, you know, break off those big runs to get into the end zone both times that kind of, you know, separated things out and made it more of a distance between those two teams. But in the first half, yeah, the Eagles looked pretty average. They looked pretty poor in the first half. It took that fourth quarter for them to really turn things around.
And that's what I thought too. And then I caught up with a podcast that they missed 2 field goals, you know, so does 9-7 at halftime look a little better? They left an extra point on the board. I just, what makes them more dangerous than even I thought they'd be is that their defense is playing well. I didn't know how good their defense was going to be. I just knew they had all these weapons on offense, plus Saquon Barkley, right? The fact that their defense is starting to play well, that's to me the scariest part of what the Eagles could be in the postseason. Rick is with you. He said he's more worried about the Chiefs without Harrison Butker than Nick Sirianni coaching a team. You're right, Rick. The Butker news is big. It's very big, honestly, and it kind of snuck up on everybody. Didn't even know that was a thing. The Chiefs like to play tight games. Yeah, that's significant because it's not just missing a game. He's going to IR, Tommy. So, yes, yeah. I agree. Nick Sirianni, though, if like that thing last year was really bad when they lost those games. But if you look at his totality as an NFL head coach, like I feel like sometimes there is and I don't think you do this, but some people do, that say like he's the worst coach in football. Dude's 41-19 over his career with a playoff appearance and every year he's been a coach. Like he's not that. He lost his coordinators. It hurt last year. He's finding a groove again. I think he's unlikable in a lot of ways, but I don't think he's a bad coach. I think his in-game decision-making is questionable, but I think he has his team prepared and they're,
you know, they're playing up to their potential most of the time.
Well, I go back to what PJ Glasser said yesterday, that a lot of what made Nick Sirianni really, really successful out of the gate was he had great coordinators in Philadelphia. And that's the truth. I mean, both of those guys are now head coaches with other teams, Steichen and Gannon. And, you know, those guys are not there anymore. And I think that last season especially, that was kind of exposed a little bit. And I think that's a huge reason why Sirianni went out and hired Vic Fangio to coach the defense, because, you know, he's a highly acclaimed and legendary long-term defensive guy in the NFL. You know, so that has helped for sure this season. I think last year,
he's 18-8 without those coordinators. Well,
here's the thing. So I think I think we can separate the debacle of last year and then what this year has done so far, because I think that last year there was this mindset from Sirianni that he thought, you know what, I lost Steichen, I lost Gannon, I don't need those guys. I'm the head coach. Like, I can make, and then everything fell apart for him. I don't like Nick Sirianni, but I have to give him a little bit of credit that he went out this offseason and he went and got good coordinators again, at least defensive coordinator, right?
We can separate those two things, 100%. Right? Whether you like him or not, or whether he's a good coach. And yeah, he lost those coordinators. He's 18-8 since those coordinators left. So I think sometimes he catches a little bit of a bad rap. I think he's a better coach. Unlikable? I'll give you that. For sure. He coaches the Eagles. I hate the Eagles. It makes me want to vomit that I'm even throwing them flowers. Like, they're one of my personally least liked teams in football, but they're really good and they're 100% a threat when we talk about the real threats to the Chiefs' chances to win a Super Bowl. Speaking of the Chiefs, they'll be a part of our picks. Big game this weekend. Significant news with Harrison Butker. And I think, too, interestingly, I don't think, Tommy, that the line has moved minus Butker, which is interesting. It's still 2.5. No Butker. Chiefs play a lot of close games. We'll pick that one. We'll pick the others. We'll go full house. TJ Cleland in-house. Brandon Zinner joins us probably from the golf course. Paul Savage will be in. It'll be fun. We'll be back with it. We're making picks on Sports Daily when we return.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Sports Radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrocht and Tommy Kester.
All right, everybody. We got a full house on a Friday, getting ready for a football weekend. We're light on college basketball, which means we focus on football, the game of the week in the NFL, the rivalry renewed between the Chiefs and the Bills. It's all coming for you as we make some picks. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Friday. Here we go. We are joined now by Paul Savage, by TJ Cleland, by Brandon Zinner. Jad, do we want to hear the receipts this week, or should we just skip that?
I imagine TJ wants to hear him.
Let's just skip him. What do you think, Tommy? Let's just skip him.
Well, I mean, it was a bad week for, I think, all of us but TJ.
Yeah, and TJ only really went 4-2, so that's not great.
Oh, well, that's not that good, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's making money good.
But you went into second place, TJ, so.
I'm surprised every time I come in here because my wallet does not show that I'm making these picks well, but apparently I'm making these picks well on Fridays, so.
Yeah. Well, you did well, 4-2. Brandon actually broke even last week at 3-3, and everybody else.
How surprised he says, he's like, he actually broke even.
Well, you are still in last place, unfortunately.
Oh.
So, yeah, sorry about that, Brandon, but still in last place.
And disclaimer, we do not pick the actual games we would bet. I try to select what I think will be the most difficult games to pick. Rarely am I picking any of these except for the actual Chiefs games with my wallet. All right. Jad, hit the music. We'll start in college football. College football's game of the week is out of the SEC. Tennessee visits Georgia. Georgia, a 9.5-point favorite. TJ, with your week last week, you can lead things off for us this week. Can Tennessee go to Georgia and keep it within 9.5 points?
I think that they can. I would be inclined to say that this might be a 3-point game, and, you know, being watching as much Tennessee football as it has this year, I would be inclined to, you know, maybe pick them, but I'm not going to because it's at Georgia, and that'd be crazy. But, you know, no running back for Georgia there. Tennessee, it really is kind of do-or-die time. This is going to be a game kind of like the LSU-Alabama game we saw last week of, you know, who's going to be able to keep winning and maybe get into the playoff, and I'm going to pick Tennessee in this one.
Listen, I'll let you take no points if you want to. We're happy to do that.
I don't want that.
No, you'll take the points. Okay. Brandon, you were second last week. You can pick second here. Georgia at home. That's a big number.
It's notable that we don't know if Nico is playing for Tennessee. It sounds like that's going to come down to game time unless that has happened in the last couple hours. But their backup quarterback has been in a Josh Heupel system, guessing more for his entire career, knows it as well as anybody. I think they are going to be able to at least keep it within the number. Give me the balls on the road.
All right, 2 for Tennessee. I'll just pick next. I don't know what the order is after them. I'll take Georgia. I'll take Georgia minus 9.5 at home. Bounce back. Bulldogs lose this game. They're probably not in the playoff. So, you know, this team, desperate, at home. It's a good spot. It's a massive rivalry game. There's a country song right now. TJ could probably educate me. There's a country song right now about somebody wearing Tennessee orange, even if they'll be a Georgia fan.
Megan Maroney, yeah, good.
Megan Maroney,
nice.
Look at that, Mr. Pop Culture over here. But I'm going to take Georgia minus 9.5. Tommy,
I agree with you that Georgia is very, very desperate. But here's the thing: Georgia is one of the worst teams in college football against the spread this year. They're 1-7 in covering the spread. Also, Tennessee, they're 3-0 against ranked teams against the spread this season. So even though Georgia's desperate, it's a prime spot for a bounce back at home. The trends, the numbers, all telling me Georgia does a terrible job in covering the spread. They've not done that all season long, so I'll take Tennessee, and I'm going to take the points.
Paul, you've got a chance to give me an island here.
You know something, I just might do that, and here's part of the reason why. Tennessee's good. Tennessee's pretty good. I don't know who Georgia is at times. This is a different Georgia than we've seen over the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know what it is about them, but there's something that's different about them. 9.5 points. Who the heck came up with 9.5 points? That seems like it should be about a 4.5-point game to me. I'm taking Tennessee. This is almost a silly pick and an easy pick.
A Georgia island. Never thought that would happen. All right, let's go to Kansas State here. They play the earlier game, so we'll start with the Cats. Arizona State comes in. We all know Arizona State's better than we thought they would be. But K-State coming off of that bye, that number's now down to 7.5 when I believe it started at 8.5. I really want to get that at 7. So if you're going to bet this game, you might as well wait. It's headed in the right direction. Maybe you can find it at 7, but the hook is there, Brandon. Are you what are you doing there now? It's 7.5. Where are you going with this one?
The team and all the fans know that this is kind of do or die for K-State. They have to win out and need some help just get to the Big 12 championship. I think if they win out, there's a chance that they backdoor into a playoff if there's some madness ahead of them as well. Yeah, I think there's no reason to leave anything on the table the rest of the season. Give me the Cats and the big number.
Paul, what do you think on this one? K-State at home, 7.5 points?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's pretty good reasoning by Brandon, and there's a lot on the line. Because there's a lot on the line, K-State still, to some extent, controls its own destiny. Part of that destiny is winning. It doesn't necessarily mean 7.5, but it means winning. And if you're winning, that 7.5 becomes approachable. Jacob, I'd really like it to be 6.5. I'd really like 6.5 instead of 7. But I'll tell you what, K-State's got a lot to play for, and it's going to be a fun place to be in Manhattan on Saturday. I'm taking the Cats.
Yeah, I will too. I don't think it's going to go to 6.5, Paul. It might go to 7, and it might even go back up to where it was too. I'll probably wait to see to actually make the bet for our picks on a Friday. I won't let the hook scare me away. It's K-State playing at home, where they're always really good. It's K-State coming off a bye week. The desperation, yeah, is there too. Avery Johnson's motivation factor this week, I would imagine, is sky high. I'll take it. It's a big number, but I'll take the Cats. TJ, what do you think?
K-State has done a very good job of confusing us on if they're good or not, because they'll come out and they beat Colorado and the come-from-behind victory. They go put it on Arizona, and then they lose at Houston. So nobody really knows, but I think that K-State, historically, at least the past couple of years, plays really well when their backs are against the wall, like Brandon said. They've got a chance to backdoor in, kind of the way that they did for the Big 12 Championship in 2022. They just had to win out and kind of hope a little bit, and it worked out. So I could see the same thing kind of happening here. Arizona State's really scary. Don't know if Cam Scadaboo is even going to play in this game or not.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was
another
announced.
Factor.
But Arizona State's really good. It's a scary number, but I'll take K-State as well.
Tommy, it is hard to take Arizona State not knowing about Scadaboo, but you have a chance at an island here. What do you think?
Fellas, a day ago, Kenny Dillingham said that Scadaboo is on track to play. And so I think that's probably why that line has moved from 8.5 to 7.5, and it may even go a little bit less than that once we get, you know, finality that Scadaboo will play. And it does look like that he probably will. I think that Kansas State will win this game, and I don't disagree with all of the reasonings that you guys have given, coming off a bye, back at home, backs against the wall, all of that. If I get a chance at an island, though, with Cam Scadaboo playing in this game and the line is more than a touchdown, I'm going to take Arizona State. I'll take that island. I think Kansas State, I think they could win by a touchdown, and then, you know, Arizona State covers that number. So I'll take Arizona State.
That hook leaves the backdoor cover wide open. All right, let's go to KU, BYU. This one is fascinating. Paul, you can start us. KU, we all know they're playing better. They're good enough to beat any team in the Big 12. Everybody knows that. But can they go to Provo at 9:30 at night and beat that team there?
Well, here's the thing. The day that BYU was admitted into the Big 12 on this radio show, I said, guys, you're going to see this team. It's going to be a dominant team. It's one of those teams that's scary. They love their football. They can recruit nationally very easily. They got a ton of money. This is a very, very good football program. I think it's better than most people think it is. And 2.5 points just doesn't seem like enough to me. Fellas, I'll tell you what. This could be a 14 to 18 point game. I'm taking BYU, and I think it's going to probably be a kind of like a little spanking right here.
You think BYU is going to roll here, okay?
Tommy, you agree? I think they're going to roll.
I mean, look, my biggest worry about Kansas is the fact that they just can't hold leads. They haven't been able to do that all season. They've been in position in basically every single game they played in where they've had to hold on to a lead. They finally did against Iowa State last week, but that lead got pretty large, and that was, you know, ultimately the only reason why they were able to hang on, because it was too big of a hole for Iowa State to crawl out of. I hate this line. I really, really, really hate this line. I'm going to take BYU. I'm going to lay the points at home in Provo. I think KU can keep it relatively close, but probably not that close. So I'll take the Cougars.
All right. There's two for BYU. Brandon, where are you at with KU in this one?
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I honestly don't know if I picked a single KU game right on the show all season long. And everything tells me it's BYU, which... I guess that tells me I have to go give me Kansas. This would be the most Kansas thing, especially with the season, for them to go on the road. They don't even have to win. They just got to go lose by two or less. It'd be a very Jayhawk thing to do. They're still alive for the Big 12 championship, I believe, which would that's not going to happen. But
there is a chaos scenario where Kansas is still alive. TJ was trying to explain it to me yesterday. Obviously, it includes them winning this game, TJ, in Provo. I know you root for these kinds of chaos scenarios. Are you going to just for that reason say KU can keep it alive?
As much as I'd love to, I've got pride on the line to finish in second place behind Paul Savage here, so I got to pick with some integrity and not pick with my heart, all right? If this game was played at any other time except for midnight in Provo, whenever all the weird things happen, if it was at noon, 3 o'clock, I'd pick KU, but the fact that it's going to be just... dark as all get out, mountains in your face. It's going to be the same thing that happened to K-State, I think. Things get weird after 9 p.m. in Provo, Utah. So give me the Cougars.
I want to take Kansas. I want to take Kansas, so I probably will for only that reason, because I don't want to miss out on if they do this. I want to be able to be in on that. It's just... like, if Kansas is this team that just finds a way to lose every game at the end, like, this is the most lose a game at the very end sight right now in the Big 12. But we'll go against it. I think they're playing better. I think they'll be able to score on BYU. It's can they, you know, prevent the mistakes? I don't know. There's no good reason for it, but I'll take Kansas just because I think they're talented enough to win that game. And we'll see if they can buck the trend. All right. Let's go to the NFL here. Ravens, Steelers. Love this game. Steelers getting 3 points at home, Tommy. You gonna ride with Russell Wilson here and the Steelers take those points?
No, I'm not. And I know Lamar has historically struggled against the Steelers. And these divisional matchups are always weird, especially when this game is being played in Pittsburgh. I just think this time around, the Ravens have so much more firepower. The biggest question is going to be, can Baltimore's defense hold up against Pittsburgh? And I think that they can. And I think that they obviously should. So I'm going to take the Ravens. I think that between Lamar, between Derrick Henry and all of that, I've got more faith in them offensively. I think that they can figure out a way this time around to get through what the Steelers are going to throw at them defensively. So I'll take the Ravens and I'll lay the points.
Well, let's ride. I'm going to ride with Russ. You guys know I'm big on the Steelers. I think it's become almost a perfect fit for this team and what they do well. They have the big-time receiver to attack that Ravens secondary. I don't know if Hamilton's going to play again. And, you know, they can get after the quarterback. So I'll take the Steelers here. They're getting 3 points at home as much as anything else for me. 3 points at home for a team that I think is in a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I'll take it. Paul, what do you think?
You know, this is a tough game. This is the toughest game for me to pick of the six games we have. I'm really torn. On one hand, you got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. And on the other hand, you got Mike Tomlin. Where do you go? Do you go coaching? Do you go players? Lamar Jackson might be the MVP. Might be. I didn't say he would be. I said he might be. But, you know, my heart says to take the Ravens. But, you know, my head says defense wins championships. I'm taking the Steelers.
TJ, Steelers are on a heater right now. What do you think in this one? It is historically leaned Steelers when Lamar Jackson has played in these games. But man, he's playing out of his mind right now.
I just want to say, this is my first time making picks in the actual studio. I'm appalled that Paul actually brings notes in for this based on the way that he makes these picks.
What?
I wonder how long he takes making this little note card that he's got.
That's ridiculous.
All right, back to this game. The Steelers, I think it's the fantasy football player in me, because I still have no idea how they've been so good. It's because they have no fantasy value in any of their players, really. You don't draft Steelers players. But they keep finding a way to win games, and I think that I've picked against them every single week, and I think I've gotten them wrong every single week. So, tied terms today. Give me the Steelers.
All right. Brandon, that means Tommy has a chance for a Ravens Island if you give it to him.
I will give it to him. The wow. Steelers as home underdogs. How well they are playing. I wanted the KU Island. I didn't get it. I'll give Tommy this as
Let's go.
Getting an island. But yeah, I just really like what the Steelers team is doing. Baltimore getting extra time to prepare off that Thursday night game does scare me a little bit. They're going to be a little bit rested up, but that was an extra brutal game. I like where the Steelers team is at. Give me Pittsburgh.
I've never seen Tommy smile that much in one segment ever doing shows with you.
I've got myself an Arizona State Island. I've got myself a Baltimore Island. It's been good so far.
Wow.
This can go sideways on you real quick. If Ravens Steelers isn't your game of the week, Bills Chiefs certainly is. Chiefs go on the road. Bills 2.5-point favorites at home. I think I haven't gone first, so I will. I've been on the fence with this one big time. Harrison Butker being out, guys, is going to make me take the Bills here. Chiefs play a lot of close games. Now they don't have that weapon. Here's what I'll predict for you, and I'll take the Bills, and I'll lay the points. Bills will win this game, and then the Chiefs will beat them in the playoffs. Rinse, wash, repeat from the last few years. But I do think right now, until I see Wanye Morris fully healthy, I think there's a real good chance Kingsley Suamataia has to have snaps in this game. And that could be a disaster for the Chiefs again, like it was against the Broncos. Buffalo's hot. I don't like it. I don't like betting against Mahomes as an underdog. I know how that goes. I know all those trends. But I'll take the Bills this week. I think they'll meet again in the postseason and the Chiefs will get them. But no Butker. Give me the Bills. Brandon?
Yeah, I'm kind of where you are at with this one. I mean, just there's a lot of things pointing down for the Chiefs in this moment. It's the wrong time for things to be pointing down when you're going up to Buffalo. Buffalo, this is their Super Bowl because they're probably not going to get they're not going to get a home game against the Chiefs in the playoffs in all likelihood. So, yeah, give me Buffalo to win the November, what is going to be November 18th Super Bowl in Buffalo.
Yeah, TJ, the trend has been Buffalo to win the regular season games and the Chiefs to win the postseason games. It's been happening now for about 5 years. Do you continue that trend, or are you taking the other trend, which is Mahomes as an underdog never loses?
Jacob, you're cracking me up with the Harrison Butker reasoning because you act like Harrison Butker got injured and they picked up the kicker from the Clearwater Indians or something. They've got an NFL
kicker.
Hey, that's
my alma mater. Be a little nice about that. Come on.
I think the Chiefs are going to be able to do this on the road. Just, you know, historically speaking, Chiefs as underdogs. You got to pick them every single time. It's like when you play blackjack, you got to play by the book and you take the Chiefs as underdogs every single time.
You would play by the book. Who plays by the book? Play by the book guy at the blackjack table. That's disgusting. Paul, you don't play by the book. You don't play by anybody's book. You got your own book.
Yeah, I can't even read. How can I use a book? So, but with that being said, how many times, help me out, guys. How many times have the Chiefs been the dog on our picks?
This is the second time this year.
The Niners game was the other one.
Okay. Yep. Well, I mean, you know, this is a team that's still undefeated. Am I right or wrong on that,
right.
TJ?
You're correct.
I think I'm right on that. You know, you've got an undefeated team getting points. It's on the road. I get it. The Bills are a good team. I get it. But you want to know something? You're giving the standing champions points. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Tommy, break the tie. I know where you're going to go. You love the Mahomes underdog trend probably more than anybody, but it's concerning. It's going to be a good game. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, so I'm just going to throw out a number at you, 12-1-1. That is Patrick Mahomes against the spread as an underdog in his career, 12-1-1. You can throw whatever kind of logic you want at, you know, with Harrison Butker and the Bills are improving, like all these different things, and it's all true and well and good. Offensive line, everything, whatever. Give me Patrick Mahomes as an underdog against the spread. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the regular season games against the Bills that they've lost and see if they've ever, if those are any of the games they've been the underdog. Look, to me, it's the left tackle issue. That's the issue more than Butker. Butker's a factor, maybe the deciding factor that took me on the fence, but I was already on the fence because I need to see if Wanye Morris can finish a game. Like, if he can't finish the game, I think the Chiefs are in real trouble. And his injuries, apparently, according to Andy Reid this week, going to be one that's just kind of there all year long. We do have one more. This should be an entertaining game. The Bengals against the Chargers at the Chargers. Chargers, a 1.5-point favorite at home. Paul, you can start us off in this one. The Bengals have their backs against the wall. The Chargers are one of the surprise teams in the NFL this year. How do you have this one going?
You know, this is a tough game, but I'll tell you what. The Bengals, guys, is there a team that's been more disappointing to you guys maybe the Bengals would be one of them, probably. I mean, if you're an NFL fan, I've been disappointed in the Bengals. I've taken them several times. Guys, they've cost me a couple of games. I'm telling you. I'm not confident that the Bengals can play a game good enough to beat a team like the Chargers on the road. I'm going to take the Chargers just because I have no confidence in the Bengals at this moment.
Oh, Tommy, I know. Can the Bengals win a game like this? I mean, we know their talent level is there. They're underdogs here in L.A., 1.5 points. How do you have this one?
Look, I've been just as disappointed as Paul has been in the Bengals. I think that they have way underachieved with the kind of talent they have. But I've said it multiple times before that it's difficult when you've got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and that's basically it. It's going to be a tough task for the Bengals because the Chargers defense, especially in the secondary, has been really good this year. But that being said, I've watched what Ja'Marr Chase especially has done the last couple of weeks. I've had him on a couple of my fantasy teams, which has been pretty fantastic. For that reason, I'm going to go ahead and I'll take the Bengals in this matchup. I think that they've got that opportunity to get the monkey off their back.
I love this game, TJ, because it's almost like, do you buy that the Bengals are this bad, or do you buy that the Chargers are this good, and you have this collision in it? I think this is I think it's the hardest game for us to pick this week. By the way,
yeah,
where are you at with this one?
You definitely said it right there, because I was going to say that my mind is telling me that I should not pick the Chargers, but somehow they just keep getting it done. And my mind tells me I should pick the Bengals, but they somehow just keep not getting it done. So we'll go with the history of this season, and I'll just go with the Chargers to get it done at home. However it is that they keep doing it, but I think that they do it one more time this week.
This very much, Brandon, parallels our KU-BYU conundrum, right? KU's talented enough, but they got to go to this place against a team who just isn't making mistakes and finding ways to win. You could insert Cincinnati and the Chargers right into that same conversation. What do you think?
Yeah, just when you look at who the Chargers have beaten, I mean, it's Spencer Rattler, Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew. They haven't beaten anybody. But unfortunately for Tommy, Ja'Marr Chase fantasy stats aren't winning them games. Even he had 260 yards last week, and they lost it. But they only lost by one, so I guess kudos to the Bengals. But I just need the Chargers to get it done against a small number at home. Not much faith in it, but give me the Chargers.
My pride won't let me retire on the Bengals yet until they're officially eliminated. So I have to take the Bengals. I feel like I'm obligated to take the Bengals. I do think it's a decent matchup for them, but you know, they've had Joe, you know, for his career now, Joe Burrow, right, is throwing from his back essentially. And the Chargers can bring it on a pass rush. That'll be the thing. If the Bengals really struggle in this game, that'll be why. And that's highly possible that they just, their offensive line is dominated. But I'll take the Bengals. You know, their season's on the line here, but I don't feel good about it. I think that's absolutely the hardest game to pick, and I think it'll be a really fun game to watch this weekend. That's six games. That's three college. That's three pro. We pick the difficult ones. Hopefully everybody can make some money this weekend. It should be fun. Great games in college. Great games in the NFL. We'll turn Brandon loose, hopefully, to get a little golf in, Brandon. And, you know, a little Friday tradition there. I will do that. We're going to keep TJ for a minute to go over some Catch It Kansas action. It is a Catch It Kansas Friday. It is the postseason. TJ will get us caught up on everything going there tonight for the third round of the high school football playoffs. We'll have more for you on Sports Daily as we roll forward on a Friday. Back in, everybody. It is a Catch It Kansas Friday, and it is the high school football playoffs, and we've got TJ Cleland in, who's got everything apprised at Catch It Kansas for us over there at catchitkansas.com and KWCH12. Paul Savage's Wichita East Blue Aces get a tough test on the road at Derby tonight. We can get into that one. And all of these others, of course, you can go to the Catch It Kansas app, check the scoreboard, check the stories. It's all there for you. TJ, we enter this portion of the schedule, this portion of the postseason, and all of those, you know, potential blowout type games and matchups kind of go out the window at this point. This is where it really starts to get good pretty much across the board, right?
Yeah, every single game is going to be pretty good tonight. You know, this is where it gets tough for us picking a game of the week because there's about seven games of the weeks that we would pick in a normal week. So everything is going to be good tonight, basically.
I was just going to say, I'm really looking forward to, I know you kind of mentioned it, but obviously East and Derby, and, you know, Paul's got, you know, some knowledge, I'm sure, on that game, but that's definitely, you know, at least in this area, one of, if not the top games of the week.
Yeah. You know, Derby hasn't really been tested all year long. They've just kind of beaten the crap out of every single team that they've played. East is a team that's playing really good football right now. They go to Dodge City last week, a team that beat them a couple of weeks ago and was able to pull off a comeback win. Am I right? You guys were down.
Yeah, down. One with 10 seconds left, the winning touchdown with 10 seconds left on the clock. It was one of those things where defense played pretty well, in fact. And I'm the D-line coach. So, you know, our D-lines, I enjoy coaching those. There's a great bunch of kids. I've enjoyed coaching them all year long, another year. By the way, guys, here's an interesting thing. We've been getting calls all week. I don't know how many college coaches are going to be there, but we're getting calls, you know, from college coaches saying, well, we're going to be at that game. And TJ, why wouldn't you? I'm telling you right now, Derby's got at least five or six. Mm-hmm. I know they say four. I think there might be five or six Division I type kids on that football team, all the way from linemen to skill kids. We've got at least a couple. And why wouldn't a college scout want to be at that game? But there's going to be a ton of them on the sidelines watching. Everybody wants to see this game, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it has the potential to be one really physical football game up front. Our D-line against their O-line, our O-line against their D-line. I think this game is going to be won. Here's a shocker. The game's going to be won in the trenches. Now, that shocks you, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
It's interesting. You know, you talk about whenever East played Northwest, that was a game everybody went in and they're like, there's going to be 100 points scored in this game. These offenses are off the rails. And then they were both so good, the score was, what, 6-3 or something?
It was 14, or only two touchdowns were scored. Yeah. And those were in the fourth quarter, if I'm not – was one a third quarter? No, I think they were both late in the game, two touchdowns scored in the whole game. And so that's amazing. So I think – this has the potential tonight, really and truly, TJ, of being a defensive battle. If both defenses play as good as they're capable of playing, it's going to be a close game, and it's going to be a tight game, and it's going to be a low scoring game. It could be under 25 points for both teams.
Wow. In the other 6A game, TJ, we have a shot at revenge for Wichita Northwest. That was a road game at Manhattan that they lost earlier in the season. Well, they got to go right back up there now and play them in the playoffs. Is this a situation where Northwest can turn the tides and have a different outcome?
Yeah, that's another game. You know, whenever you look at these the games that are left in 5A and 6A, there's going to be a lot of Division I talent. Manhattan's got a guy, J.J. Duggan, I think is his name, something like that. He's getting a bunch of offers all over the board, and he kind of just makes everything go up in Manhattan. Northwest is, you know, kind of just rolled through everybody as well. You know, they've been tested quite a bit, and they've shown that they can win tight games. They weren't able to get it done there, but now that they've seen what their best shot is, you know, they kind of know what it is going back up there. It's going to be a really, really fun game up there, because Northwest is a really talented football team, and to beat them twice is really hard.
Yeah.
Let's jump all the way down to 3A, TJ. It's the rematch of all rematches, Andale and Cheney. I think everybody is a little disappointed that this isn't later in the playoffs and we get it tonight. But still, I mean, just going back to a season ago when Cheney had Andale's number, but Andale this year, correct me if I'm wrong, but Andale beat Cheney earlier this year, right?
They haven't played yet.
I thought they had. Okay, this will be the biggest, obviously, rematch from last season. What do you expect in this game? I mean, I feel like Andale has gotten themselves back on track this season. It's going to be a heavyweight matchup regardless, though.
Yeah, I think Keisha may have been playing some matchmaker, making us wait till the playoffs to see this again or something good point. That. The district's changed this year. I don't know what it was. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, going into last year, I remember I was at both of the games when Cheney beat Andale, and we were doing our picks, and I sat there and I was like, there's no chance you can get me to pick anybody except for Andale ever in my entire life, and got embarrassed, and I think the Cheney parents let me hear about it as well. They had some words to say to me about that one, because they beat him twice, and it was unheard of until last year. They're the only team to have beat Andale since 2018, and nobody else has done it. Some teams have gotten close, but not really. I think Wellington was the only team that played Andale within a touchdown this year. Everybody else has gotten the heck beat out of them.
I'm going to make a comment. You can say whether I'm right or wrong. This is the only game on the schedule tonight, at least on this side of the state. I don't know about the other side of the state, but on this side of the state, the championship game is being played tonight in 3A. Yep. I don't know if you guys would agree with that, but that's what I really think. Cheney, by the way, in coaching circles, is considered one of the best coach teams in the state. I really and truly. They do things right. Their techniques, they do right. They do a lot of things very well with their kids. But I think tonight's game, Andale, Cheney, is the state championship game. Am I wrong?
It's really interesting because we talked about between Andale, Cheney, Collegiate, and Pratt, you were going to get a matchup of two of those four teams in this round.
That's right.
And I was home this past weekend talking to all the people around Frontenac and Girard on the east side of the state in Class 3A, talking about, you know, Frontenac was undefeated, hoping to get to that state championship game. And I was like, guys, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if you get to the state championship game, because it's going to be a West Side team. They're all so good this year.
Yeah.
You mentioned Wellington playing Andale. They've been a team like, I've been a little further back from it than I normally am this year for the first time in two decades. But Wellington seems like a surprise team, but they've been really good. They go to Andover Central. That 4A matchup is pretty interesting. What are we looking at there?
Yeah, Wellington's a team that, you know, they kind of had some down years. Last year made a little bit of a playoff run under the new coach and everything like that, and kind of showed who they can be. This year they come out, they lose to Collegiate by 3, they lose to Andale by 4, and they haven't lost since, and they really haven't gotten tested that much since. They beat Capon last week, and they're just a really, really fun team to watch. Their quarterback, Dusty Bannister, they got a wide receiver, Carter Burnett, and they can throw the heck out of the football. They can throw it with anybody, honestly. I'd put them against 6A schools, throwing the football with those two at least. Wow. They're a really good tandem that they have there. Andover Central, early in the season, whenever we were coming in, we regarded them as maybe a top four team in the entire city. They slipped. They fell to Goddard. That's the only loss they have this year. They do a lot of things really well. They have talent all over the ball and bring back pretty much an entire state championship berth team from last year. It's going to be a really, really good one. That might be my second or third favorite on the docket tonight, because I really like Wellington, but going to Andover Central and trying to beat a team that made it that far last year is going to be really hard.
Looking at 5A, TJ, Hutchinson plays at home tonight against Hayes. That looks to be a matchup where, I mean, obviously we know what Hutchinson has done this year. And knowing, the competition that Hayes has played also to get to this point, I'm really looking forward to that matchup too.
Yeah, Hayes is so intriguing, because I remember we talked 2 weeks ago whenever they played against Andover. They were 4-4, I believe, or something like that. And their losses were to Manhattan, Derby, Great Bend, in a last-second thing against Liberal. And so it's like they may be the best four-loss team that you can find in the entire state. And then they go on the road. They beat Andover. They go on the road to Great Bend, a team that beat them in the rain and beat the number one team in Class 5A. So that shows you how tough of a regular season they had. And it's kind of, showing that it's working in the playoffs. And as a coach, you never know if that's going to work or not. But paying off for Tony Crow out there. Coming to Hutch tonight. Hutch is a team that I think that through their first three games, they didn't allow a point after the Derby game, or three-game span. They didn't allow a point or something like that. They just kept shutting teams out, and they just find a way to kind of grit out these wins. When you look at them, Terrell King's a stud, and then the rest of these guys, they just work so well as a unit. They've been playing football together for so long that they can really just kind of scheme you and beat you and just kind of grit their way into these wins. It'll be a really, really fun one tonight, because both of these teams kind of play the exact same way. And Hayes putting some mileage on their buses, by the way. They're going all over the state.
Let's go one more, TJ, for our friends out in Goddard. Ike, really, their only losses have been to teams that are still playing in this round. So they get a team like Topeka Seaman, who looked really impressive, I know, last week when I was in there for you. But, you know, what kind of state contender do we think Ike is at this point?
Ike's really, really good. They got a Division I quarterback and a Division I wide receiver. I think that Carter Paft, I think he has the most touchdowns in state history, if I believe, receiving touchdowns in state history now. He broke that mark. That tells you how good he is. Pick Seaman, a really good team. You know, we don't watch them that much, but I hear about it all the time from our friends up there at WIBW and everything like that. They're going to be tested, as you said. Every team that they've lost to is still playing, and I can see Eisenhower. Now that Great Bend's out of the picture, especially, no disrespect to Hayes or anybody else on the bracket, but this may be Eisenhower's 5A West to lose at this point. I'll put that out there. I don't know who's going to beat them this far, and, you know, they're a really good team. I can see them making a trip to Emporia. I think it's Emporia this year. Usually it's Pittsburgh. Emporia.
Are you a little surprised that there isn't at this point three City League championships going into this round? That through the regionals last week, two City League teams advanced out. Are you a little surprised at that, or did you expect there to be three teams at this point?
Three City League teams that are still going. Yeah, it was kind of a weird year in the City League. You know, obviously East and Northwest are teams that we kind of really expected to be good. Other than that, you know, it was kind of a teams beating up on each other a little bit underneath Northwest and East. So a really bit of an odd year. You know, obviously with Bishop Carroll and Capen, you know, they lost a ton of stuff over the last 2 years. Capen went to a state championship last year, lost a lot of their production, but Weston Sharks is such a good coach that it didn't really show that they lost that much production. Now that you get to this point in the playoffs and you're playing really, really good teams like Wellington that they played, your flaws are going to start showing, and I think that it showed a little bit last week is the reason that we're not seeing Capen playing into this round. But no disrespect to them, because they lost to a really good Wellington team.
That's it. There's more games than that, by the way, down into the smaller schools, and you can find it all at catchatkansas.com and on 12 News Tonight and on 12 News Connected, where you watch this show right here. TJ, when does it all start?
We got Rachel Hallam going live in Cheney for the game of the week rematch of rematches. I think there were 6,000 people at the game last year.
Goodness gracious.
Shoulder to shoulder around the fences. I bet that's going to be the case again tonight in Andale. Andale hasn't lost in 12 years, something like that, at home, something like that. So going to be a really interesting storyline out there as well. She'll start at 4:30, go live out there, leading up to our 12 News kickoff show on 12 News Plus Connected, where you're watching this one, and then Catch It Kansas show, 10:35 tonight.
Right there's how I find them, how I know everything, right there, Catch It Kansas.
Paul's got that Catch It Kansas app. It's a luxury, honestly, for the listeners to have that sort of resource at the palm of your hand for high school sports. So good luck tonight with the coverage, TJ. We'll let you go fill out some more paperwork. TJ and Brandon going to mix in, become a bigger part of the Sports Daily family. We're excited about that as we make our way through this fall season into a busy winter coming up. Paul, Tommy, myself, we'll come back. We'll get the latest on the Chiefs. We sort of covered it in the picks there, but some interesting injury news for them. We're coming right back. We'll wrap up a busy Friday edition of Sports Daily when we return on KFH. Giveaway number two here on this Friday. Let's give some Cody Jinks tickets away. Cody Jinks, Change the Game Tour, comes to Interest Bank Arena on Saturday, November 23rd. Special guest Jason Boland and the Stragglers. Last chance at a pair of tickets. Text Cody, C-O-D-Y, to the short code 20357. That contest ends, well, in about 13 minutes. It ends at 11 o'clock. Your last chance to win Cody Jinks tickets. A pair of them comes basically right now. Enter Cody 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Glad to be able to send some folks off to that concert. I think it's going to be awesome. He's got some songs I really, really like. So good luck there. We're happy to send you here on Sports Daily and KFH. All right, fellas, the Chiefs and the Bills. It's lining up to be another epic contest. Really surprising news yesterday with Harrison Butker. So, you know, as we watch this, the Chiefs won't have Harrison Butker, are not expected to have either of Amenihue or Pacheco. They won't. And might have, I'd say, likely would have Juju Smith-Schuster. It's going to be a tough game. Even if they had all of those guys, Buffalo's playing well. It just feels to me like the spot where all of this good fortune might get away from them. I don't know, though. I mean, it is Mahomes as an underdog. I would say, Tommy, that the Chiefs need to come out and really run the ball a ton. But if they get Juju back with DeAndre Hopkins, that's kind of, you know, that quick, having both of those, that gives you three options for a quick strike offense, which would help if your left tackle is struggling. So, you know, maybe getting Juju back is something we haven't thought enough about.
Yeah, I think that that's a huge component of this game. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday about how, you know, Patrick Mahomes, if there continues to be offensive line issues, especially at left tackle, he's going to have to get the ball out very quickly. I don't think that we're going to see, at least right now, with Wanye Morris, even if he does play, probably not being 100%. I don't think we're going to see a lot of opportunities for Patrick Mahomes to be able to wait in the pocket for a long time and throw deep to whether it's Hopkins or Worthy. I just don't think that that's going to be on the table a whole heck of a lot in this game on Sunday. So you're going to need quick hitters, and that's where Travis Kelce comes to play, and that's where Juju Smith-Schuster comes to play as well.
Paul, if you're a defensive coach for the Bills right now, what does it mean to have three options for routes that are, you know, underneath type routes or quick hitter type routes? The Chiefs, they have three very qualified guys now for that particular type of play. They need it, but is that hard to defend? I would assume they would try to press to prevent that, right? Like, what do they do to try and counter?
Well, let me just phrase it like this, if you don't mind, Jacob. You bring up the safeties and you start taking those routes away. What happens to the deep third, the deep middle third, the other two thirds? I mean, all of a sudden that opens up to a little deeper pass. And that's so there's part of your poison. What do you defend? Well, I would say if it was me, keep the ball in front of you. Just keep the ball in front of you. Don't let the ball behind you. And that's kind of the way I would look at it. This is going to be, and I've got a feeling, this is going to be a close game. But I've got a feeling whoever wins this game, when we go back and we look at the stats, we're going to say, who had the most possession time? And you want to know something, Jacob? And Tommy, that team that wins might be the team that possesses the ball the most and keeps the ball out of the hands of the other team. Both teams are capable of scoring. Both teams have great quarterbacks. Both teams are capable of dominating a lot of NFL teams. I'm just saying the team that possesses the ball and keeps the ball out of the other team's hands will have the best chance of winning.
I think to your point, Paul, I mean, I think that that's spot on, because the Bills, with the, you know, the strikes that they can do and the explosiveness offensively, I think they're going to want a high-scoring game. Kansas City's going to want to keep the score, I think, lower.
That's right.
And they're going to want to lean on Kareem Hunt and have long, sustained drives and that sort of thing with quick hitting passes to kind of supplement that. So I think you're spot on with that.
And it makes you not have to, you know, worry about your left tackle as much. Yeah. I think Buffalo would like to run the ball too, by the way, to Paul's point. Like, I think if they have their way, Josh Allen will run it a lot. And they've got a couple of talented backs in James Cook, and they got a rookie in Ray Davis that they really like. So 46 points, Vegas doesn't, you know, it's not a low total, but it's probably not as high a total as we'd typically see in this game. I think Vegas is sort of on that line too. This could be very much a ball control, who makes fewer mistakes, right? Kind of game.
Right. Yep.
And I'm here for it. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think this is an opportunity as much as anything else, and we haven't talked about this in a number of weeks. They flexed last week. I think it's a great opportunity for the Chiefs defense to really flex down and say, don't forget we're one of the best units in football here. This is a really big chance for them to be able to step up and do something like that too.
And really quick, just watch what, you know, the Chiefs will do as far as limiting James Cook. You mentioned that they're going to want to run the ball with Josh Allen, but they're going to need James Cook to do that too. The Chiefs' storyline all season long is how they limit lead backs. They've done it basically the entire season. This will be another test. You know, if they can stop James Cook, especially on first downs, and force the Bills into passing situations, that's going to benefit, I think, Kansas City a ton.
Oh, man, I can't wait for it. And now special teams is a factor too with the Harrison Butker injury. All right. We're going to come back. It is a busy week end, as it always is on the network. We'll get you all caught up on that as Sports Daily wraps up right after this.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.